wonderful song.
So wonderful other songs and great opportunities to worship God today. I want to commend the gathering meeting to you, which is happening after this service. It would be great to see you there for food and for discussion about the life of this gathering in particular. Going to have the final one in our series on prayer today, and just thinking about Acts 4, the passage that Sean read to us. And the PowerPoint is going to come up on the screen. Just a reminder, that's it, of our values as a whole church, following Jesus, word and spirit, engaging in mission, embracing adventure, growing community, and faithful in prayer. I think they're great values that we have agreed together, and wonderful things for us to take forward together. Thinking about faithful in prayer, but there is also much here in this reading about community, about adventure, about mission, about word and spirit, and about following Jesus. So this is one of those readings where a whole load of stuff actually comes together to inform and encourage us. So we are thinking about this wonderful passage today. And first of all, just a little bit on the prelude to what happens here. The believers are coming together in prayer, and they're coming together in prayer with a focus on a particular incident that's happened. If we just move on to the next slide, we have what happened earlier in Acts chapter 4, and Peter and John have been on the way to the place of prayer, and as they've been on the way to pray, they have noticed this guy who needs healing, and they have healed him, and they have proclaimed boldly the word of God in a situation where there has been real opposition and real threats to them. And the proclamation is absolutely wonderful. It is focused on Jesus. It is full of life. It is winsome. It is bold, even fearless. And we might wonder, what is the secret? Why are they able to proclaim in this way, in such a difficult situation? And what we read in 4:13 is this. When those watching on saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's that final phrase, isn't it? The fact that these guys had been with Jesus. And what does that refer to? Well, Peter and John, they were apostles who had walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. And so physically they'd been with Jesus. They were Jesus followers, quite literally. And they'd gone around Galilee and they had seen what Jesus was doing. And they had copied him and they had learned from him. So there is that dimension to this. But here they are, and Jesus has ascended into heaven. He is no longer with them physically, and yet they are still with Jesus. And the way that they're still with Jesus is by the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and because they are men of prayer. The very beginning of chapter 3, we read, as I mentioned, they were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. And we see throughout the book of Acts, there is prayer after prayer after prayer. Some of that prayer is spontaneous prayer. People pray in the moment. People pray with those that they are working with. People pray and praise in all sorts of situations and circumstances, but there is also a rhythm of prayer that they observe. And you see here the Jewish rhythm of prayer, 3 PM. It's part of the place of prayer, part of the time of prayer. So Peter and John go to pray. And there is that encouragement once again for disciplined habits of prayer. It struck me just preparing for this that actually the believers coming together to pray in Acts 4 may not be spontaneous. I think I've always assumed this is a spontaneous gathering for prayer. Peter and John, they've been released. Everybody hears about this and they just come together and they pray. It wasn't a planned meeting. But just thinking about that, that may not have been the case. How are they going to get the news out? There's no WhatsApp groups, there's no rolling news. People on the other side of the city aren't suddenly going to hear, well, Peter and John have been released and we need to come together to pray. It's at least possible and perhaps probable that this was just a regular meeting that the believers were having. They were coming together to pray. Peter and John knew about it. They'd been released. They turned up at the meeting. And then, of course, they heard the news. And this was the focus for their prayers. There is spontaneous prayer in the book of Acts. But there are also habits of prayer. And both are absolutely vital for us. If we go on to the very next slide, there are some things that might help us. It may be that you're great and you're just happy with a daily rhythm of prayer, but there are things that can help us, and I've put 4 of those on the screen. Lectio 365, which I know some of you use, which is just a way of reading the Bible prayerfully throughout the year. And you can put these into an internet search engine and you can find them so easily. The Inner Room, I'll come back to. 72 Network and Fuel Cast are smaller operations. They are British-based. I'm privileged to be involved in a small way in both of them. But again, they just to encourage Bible reading and prayer. The 3 that I've mentioned are probably more about Bible reading and the prayerful approach to the Word of God. But prayer and Bible, Bible and prayer, they go together. They feed off each other. And the key thing is that it helps us with discipline to have some of these things as an aid to help us to daily prayer. And then the Inner Room, which is a wonderful app that I have discovered. I'm not hugely into these things. I'm not very technological. I actually struggle with this app a bit. I can't get the timer to work. And it's possible that there might be a problem with it, but I think that user error is more likely in this particular instance. But they're a wonderful thing. You can record your prayers. You can say that you're praying for certain things. You can go back and you can reflect on answers to prayer. Wonderful stuff. It's very linked with 24/7 prayer. And it's something that you might want to look up. However we do it, whatever aids we use, then discipline in prayer, a daily discipline, daily prayer, is vital for us. Do we want to be effective in mission? Do we want to be fruitful in our lives? Do we want to grow as Christians? If that is the case, any of those things are the case, then we need to be with Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus. And so it's an encouragement and a challenge from God's word. We go on to the next slide, just a few things from this wonderful passage from Acts chapter 4. So, 3 things from this extraordinary prayer. First of all, notice that it is corporate prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And so they are together and they are praying. Might have been praying one after the other, but my sense here is that this is more Korean style prayer, and they're praying together, and then a voice rises up out of the babble and then prays this prayer, Sovereign Lord. And it's exciting and it's vibrant and it's together. And very, very simply, I want to encourage corporate prayer, encourage engagement in these times of prayer that we have in these services, prayer in small groups, and the prayer gathering that has started on a Sunday evening once a month. So crucial. There are good opportunities for prayer. I know the elders are thinking about more opportunities for prayer in the days that lie ahead. They raise their voices together in prayer to God. There is something about agreement in prayer here, isn't there? They're all praying, and yet there is this prayer, and they're praying it together. They're praying with the prayer. There is agreement in prayer. And when two or three or four or five come together in prayer and lift their voices to God, I think, and this is my experience over a number of years, that there can be special power in prayer. There is that sense that God is answering. Our prayers are weak and feeble, but God is great and mighty, and he loves it. He loves it when his people come together to pray. And so there is that warm encouragement to corporate prayer. Secondly, prayer as answering God. There's an interesting thing that's going on in this prayer that can surprise us and we can skip over. So what are they actually asking for here? And you have to read through this quite some way before you realise, are they asking for something in verse 24? No. Verse 25? No. Verse 26? No. We read it through. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. There's no request there. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? There's no request. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. There's no request. There's no intercession if we strip it back to its basic meaning of asking God for things. There is praise for sure, but it's also, is it praise? Yes, it is. They're praising God. They're worshipping him for his sovereignty. They're worshipping him for his greatness. They are rehearsing the gospel, and that in itself is praise to God. But they're basically saying to God what he already knows, what is there in his word. And yet this is a prayer, clearly, that God is pleased with. And it's not an unusual prayer in the scriptures. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, people speak out to God, yeah, things that he already knows. He already knows our requests before we bring them, of course. But we speak out praise, we speak about the gospel, we talk about the promises of God. He knows these things, but he loves it when we pray in that way. Someone has spoken about prayer as answering God. God has already spoken to us, and we speak back to him. Someone else has called it reversed thunder. Yes, God is sovereign, and we declare his sovereignty, and we thank him and we praise him for it. Yes, God is great and mighty, and we declare that together. Yes, God has worked powerfully in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as the prayer goes on, they speak about that. Jesus who came and died and rose. And the believers pray about this. And it's this answering God, this reverse thunder, this glorying in the gospel and the goodness and the greatness and the holiness and the power of God. And it's something about prayer as relationship, something about prayer as God shaping us and working in our lives. But what we see, while there is mystery here, is that this is prayer that God delights in, that God answers. Faithful prayer, prayer that lays hold of the character of God and the power of God, that believes he is active in the world, that believes that he has worked in the gospel. And we declare that to God in prayer, and God is pleased. He does something in us, he does something in you and me when we pray in that way, but he also loves to answer this sort of prayer when the request comes. And this is the final thing here, really. We'll look at the results of the prayer as well, but the request comes in verses 29 to 30, and we remind ourselves of these truths. Lord, consider their threats, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Three things. Consider their threats, enable bold proclamation, and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. The first thing, consider their threats. Notice that it's not stop their threats. Notice that it's not send them away, not even protect us. In a sense, there's nothing wrong with any of these prayers. If we're being threatened in gospel work, then we can pray for protection and for that to cease. And we can bring all sorts of prayers to pray to our God. But here they pray, consider their threats, hear them, mark them. But what we really want is bold proclamation and signs and wonders. That's wonderful faith, isn't it? It just strikes me. Here are men and women, thinking about the whole gathering, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have been transformed by the power of God. We remember them before, cowering in the upper room as Jesus is there, and they're so afraid of the authorities, they're not sure what's gone on with the resurrection, and now the assurance of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, enables them to prayer. We should seek this daily filling of the Holy Spirit, and for the Word of God to dwell richly in us. There is no substitute for these things. We wrestle with God and we seek after him for his presence and his power. These people have been transformed by the Holy Spirit, and they say, consider their threats and enable bold proclamation and bring signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. What a great prayer that is. It's my prayer for this church. It's my prayer for this gathering very, very much. It's my prayer for myself as I go into a new situation. There is utter dependence on God for each one of us. But when we throw ourselves on God in weakness, he comes and his strength is made perfect, and he gives us boldness, even me, even you. He performs signs and wonders, even today, even here in this place. And his grace and his spirit pours in, and there is life. What's the result of these believers praying? Well, we see the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit freshly. And indeed, they spoke the word of God boldly. There is a photo of somewhere being shaken there, and literally shaken. I remember George Furwell once preaching on this verse and saying, you know, some people think that it just seemed like shaking. Well, you can believe that if you want to. What it says here is that the place itself was shaken. God is a prayer-answering God. And when we pray, not because our prayers are powerful, but because of his power and his goodness and his grace, there is a shaking which can go on. God is at work. God is at work powerfully. And he works in response to this prayer. How is he going to work in response to our prayers? As we pray now, as we come to our God, as we pray in the days ahead for him to work, well, let's ask for something similar. A real shaking, perhaps even literally, of this place, of Crag, of Connect, that shaking that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in, and that boldness in proclamation, that filling of the Holy Spirit, and that moving out in mission. Laura is going to come back up, and we have the opportunity to respond.